Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1. And here the scriptures tell us, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had an indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Lord, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. We ask you, Lord, that you might bind the powers of Satan this morning and you might let the Holy Spirit have free reign in this service, that each of our hearts might be touched and challenged by your word this morning. We ask you now to give thy servant the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let us speak those words which need to be spoken today. For all that you do, we want to praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. I heard about a certain individual. I don't know if he was a member of this church or not, but he decided that he wanted to buy his wife a present. So being in a department store, he went up to the little counter and told the lady, said, I want to buy my wife some perfume. And she said, well, that's great. And so she brought him out a little bottle and sprayed a little bit. And he said, how much is that? And she said, $50. He said, well, that's a little bit too much. He said, you got anything a little bit lower? And so she brought him out another bottle. And he said, how much is that? And she said, that'll be $30. So he said, that's a little bit too much. And so she brought him out another bottle and sprayed it. And he said, well, that smells pretty good. How much is that? And she said, well, that's $15. He said, well, I'm looking for something cheap. And so she reached down on the counter and handed him a mirror. So we're going to talk about a lady today that didn't need a mirror because she wasn't cheap. And a lot of times we're cheap this morning with the Lord. But we're going to talk about a lady today that wasn't today. We find that this particular incident in the life of Christ is recorded in all of the Gospels this morning. And we know from the Gospel of John that John identifies her as Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She's found only 3 times within the Gospels. And in each instance, if you study the Scripture, you will find that she's always found at the feet of Jesus. We find that she sat at his feet and listened to his word in the Gospel of Luke. She came to his feet in the sorrow after the death of Lazarus, and she worshiped at his feet as we read this morning in our text. You see, she was a woman who had been touched by the Lord, whose life had been changed by Christ. And so this morning, when she comes to his feet, we realize today that at the feet of Christ is where Mary found blessing. Today, if you want to be blessed of the Lord, you will find it at the feet of the Lord. You have to come humbly and willing to bow down at his feet and allow him to bless you this morning. A lot of people say, I want to be blessed by God. A lot of folks today say, I would love for God to bless me. Well, let me give you a very simple starting point. You come to his feet and begin to listen to him and let him bless you from the inside out. Today, the blessings of God are not always those things that we see materially. They're not always those things that we can hold in our hands this morning, but they are those things that God blesses us with on the inside. That's where the blessing of the Lord really starts today. Mary found blessing at the feet of Jesus. If you want to find blessing today, you'll find it at the feet of the Lord. You find that she brought her burdens to his feet. How many of you have burdens today? You know, we all have burdens to bear. We all today have those things in our lives which kind of get us down and kind of weigh upon us at times. It might be sickness. It might be sorrow. It might be a wayward child. It might be our financial situation. It could be a lot of things today that's going on in many people's lives. Every time you stand as a pastor to preach, you wonder what's going on in the lives of the people in the pew. I read of a pastor who many times would go to the church on the Sunday before he was to preach. He would get up early in the morning and he would go and bow down before each pew and say, "Lord, let me speak a word from you to the people who sit in this pew today." Because every person that comes into the house of God has some kind of burden that they're bearing. I don't know what your burden might be today, but if you this morning want to find comfort and help in your time of need, you'll find it by bringing your burdens to the feet of the Lord. The song says, "Kneel at the cross." We today need to kneel at his feet, bring our burdens to his feet, and there we can find grace to help in our time of need. And when we see her here in our text today, we find that she is worshiping at her best. We today need to worship the Lord, and we'll talk about that this morning. We sometimes sing a song, and I like the song because I think it conveys a wonderful message today. I think it conveys a very biblical and scriptural message. And the song says, "Hear ye the master's call, give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, and not for reward, not for the praise of men, but for the Lord." And the chorus says, "Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all." You see, today we find in our text today a woman who today is giving her best, her all today. Many times you talk to people about the Lord. You talk to people about church. And a lot of them many times will use the expression and they say, "Well, I'm doing my best." I want to ask you a question this morning and you answered in the recesses of your heart. You look down in the inside of your soul and your spirit, and are you doing your best for the Lord? That's a good question to ask today. Many times folks will say, "I'm doing my best." I remember when Carrie, sometimes I would have to say something to her, and she'd say, "Daddy, I'm doing my best." And I'd say, "No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not doing your best." And she'd cry a little bit more. That mean I didn't love her? No, I still love her. But I knew she wasn't doing her best. That she hadn't did the very best that she could do. I think sometimes when we say we're doing our best, the Lord looks down and says, "Don't think so." Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us and he knows that we're not doing the very best that we can do. So the question we all have to answer this morning is, are we doing our best for the Lord? You see, in this act that we find that Mary did for the Lord Jesus in our text today, we find a real act of worship. That's what worship is really all about. This was her worshiping the Lord without any hesitation, without any reservation, without any embarrassment, without anything today. She simply came into this dinner party, and there she worshiped the Lord. You see, it expressed her love for the Lord Jesus. You know, she was criticized for it, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the other criticism, but this Simon, he said, you know, Lord, he said, you know, this woman's a sinner. The Lord said, I know that. I'm paraphrasing it, but he said, you know, I forgive a lot of her sins. She had a lot of sins that was in her life. She had a lot of things wrong with her, but God forgive her. The Lord Jesus saved her. The Lord Jesus changed her life. And here, as she comes into this dinner party, and as she breaks this alabaster box of ointment and pours it over his head, she's expressing her love for the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he had done for her. She wasn't buying salvation. She wasn't buying anything. She was simply out of her heart today. She was expressing her love and gratitude for what God had done for her. That's what real worship is today, folks. We could talk a lot about it, but it's expressing our love and our gratitude for what God has done for us. That's what Mary did. It exposed her heart. You see, it opened her heart up to show what was really on the inside. Sometimes we say, well, we can't know the heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Jesus said, out of the heart come a lot of things. But you know, today, I think out of the heart also comes true worship. It exposed what was in her heart. When she came into this dinner party, and here sat the Lord, and she broke this box and began to pour this precious ointment over his head. She expressed her love and gratitude and exposed her heart for all of those around her today to let them know her great love for her Lord. Do people know that we really love the Lord? Do people know that God has done something in our life? Do we express our love and our gratitude for what God has done for us today? So let's today just look very quickly at what she did and see, are we really doing our best? Look at her resource. She had, the Bible says here, an alabaster box, a precious spikenard or a precious ointment. It was a perfumed ointment. It was made from a herb that was found only in the land of India, and it was very expensive to import to the land of Israel. And it was a, as the Bible says here, 300 pence or a year's wages. This was worth a year's wages today. Think about what you made last year. Think about the money that when you receive your W-2 form from your employer, and how much money you made this past year. That's how much Mary gave to the Lord. You see, it wasn't a cheap imitation today. She wasn't here just to do something to show off. She was giving something very precious to him. And you see, she gave what was already provided. I want you to think about that. She gave what God had already provided. Years ago in a certain particular movement, they had what was called faith promise giving. And I'm not here to argue for or against, but my only question has always been, and my question has always been throughout the Scripture, that God has never asked us to give what we don't have. He's always asked us to give what we do have. And faith promise was saying, well, I'll give to the Lord and I'll promise this much because in faith I'm believing God will give it to me. I think the Lord really just wants us to give what we already have. What he's already provided for us. Several years ago, Peter Lord was a preacher down in Florida, and he came and preached in this particular church. And he had been there before and knew most of the people. And so before he got up to preach that evening, or that morning, he called one of the deacons aside, and he said, is your wife here? And he called her by name, and he said, sure. And he said, I want you to do me a favor. I need her to help me in my sermon. He said, well, what do you want me to do? And He said he gave her husband a $5 bill, and he said, "You put that in her Bible, and make sure when I call her name, she brings her Bible up to the platform." So the husband said, "I'll do that." And so as he got up to preach, and he said, "I'd like for Miss So-and-so to come forward. I want you to help me just a moment. Would you come up?" And she came up, and he said, "Do you believe that I'm an honest man, an ethical man?" She said, "Oh, yes." And he went through a lot of things, and he said, "Well, do you think that I would ask you to do anything wrong?" And she said, "No." "Do you think I'd ask you to do anything you couldn't do?" "No." He said, "Will you do something for me?" And she said, "Anything I can." He said, "Give me $5. And she said, "Let me get my purse." He said, "No, you said you'd do it right now. I want $5 right now." "I don't have $5. He said, "Well, you just said you didn't think I'd ask you to do anything you couldn't do." And finally, he kept asking her, and finally he said, "Let me have your Bible." And he opened the Bible and took out the $5. She said, "How did that get in there?" He said, "I put it in there." He said, "The Lord never asked us to do something he hadn't already provided for us." Now you think about that today. She gave what God had already provided her with this morning. Jesus said she has done what she could. Now, the Lord doesn't ask us to do something we can't do. I'm honest with you. He doesn't ask us to do that's impossible for us to do. Can you imagine him to ask me to sing a special? I don't believe that he's ever going to do that. I'm going to be like the old black preacher. I'll make sure it's the Lord. Believe me. He's not going to ask us to do something we can't do. He asks us to simply give what he's already provided, to use what he's already provided for him. Then she gave it freely. She gave it freely. We don't find any record here that somebody made her go and do this. Now, the Bible said that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. I thought a moment ago when we were getting ready to take up the offering, and Morgan said, "Yay!" I thought, you know, we ought to all say that. Yay, we get to give something to the Lord. Right. Amen, Morgan. We get you a little cheerleader outfit, put you up here, time to do the organ. Amen. Yay. That's what Mary was doing. She was giving what she had freely. Nobody coerced her into it. The Lord didn't make her do it. Nobody made her do anything. She simply gave, and she did it freely this morning. She wanted to do this for the Lord. She wanted to do this for the Lord. Now think about that. You see, I don't understand a lot of things. I don't say a lot about money. The Lord always provided every church I've been in. The Lord always provided things that we needed because I believe we always freely give to the Lord. You see, if I have to coerce you into giving it, and I have to embarrass you into giving it, I have to make you give, I've accomplished nothing. I want you to see that you do it not because the preacher said to do it, not because the church even needs it, not because you want to help the community or you want to help some particular person, but you simply want to do it for the Lord. What she did, she freely gave it to the Lord. And then she gave what the Lord wanted. You know, She did, I believe, what she knew the Lord wanted her to do. Somebody says, "How do you know that?" Well, she'd been in communion with the Lord. You know, notice what the Bible says. In verse number 6, it says, "She hath wrought a good work for me." Verse 8, it says, "She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying." She'd been listening to the Lord. She'd been sitting at his feet. She'd been communing with him. She'd been listening to what the Lord was saying. I wonder sometimes, do we really listen to the Lord? I think a lot of us were like a little fellow came into the Boy Scout meeting. His uniform was all twisted and turned around. He had a bruise on his cheek, and his cap was messed up, and his hair was all disheveled, and his shoes was scuffed up. And the scoutmaster said, "What happened to you?" He said, "I helped a lady across the street." The scoutmaster said, "Well, how did this happen?" He said, "She didn't want to go." Sometimes that's the way we do with the Lord. We want to do what He doesn't want us to do. We're not really listening to what God tells us to do. It'd probably be pretty easy for me to say, "Well, He wants so-and-so to do this," but that's not always true. We need to listen to what the Lord's speaking to us today, what He wants us to do. That's what Mary did. She listened to what the Lord wanted her to do. She'd been listening to His Word. You know, you study the Scripture and you'll find this morning, and we have time to get there, but He'd been talking to His disciples. He'd been telling them that He was going to be crucified, that He was going to die. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen to it. They didn't want to believe it. But Mary believed it. She listened to what He was saying, and she came and did this in an act of worship for Him. In her righteousness. You see, sacrifice never seems reasonable. The world looks and says, that doesn't even seem reasonable. She gave all of this to a man that's about to die. Why? She wasted this ointment. She wasted this perfume. She could have did many things with it. She could have done a lot of good in the community. She could have done something for herself. She has wasted You know, Mary didn't see it that way. You see, a lot of folks today don't really understand. She just simply gave everything she had. She surrendered everything she had to the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the glory of the woman is her hair. And she took her glory and wiped His feet with it. She was willing to even absolve herself for any glory. She came this morning, and it seemed rash to the world. It seemed strange to the world. These people sitting around her and said in verse 4, said there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of ointment made?" This is just a waste. See, a lot of folks say today, if you begin to serve the Lord, you're wasting your life. W.A. Criswell, the longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, was a very intellectual man, practically a genius. And people would tell him through the years, "You wasted your talent, Criswell. You could have been a multi-billionaire with your intelligence. You wasted your life preaching in that church." Even though it's the largest church in the Southern Baptist Convention, even though it's the largest church, even though it's got all of these members, "You've wasted your life by serving the Lord." W.A. Criswell said, "I never felt I've wasted my life. I simply gave my life to the Lord." Doesn't make sense to the world today, folks. You see, sometimes we have to wonder, what is our alabaster box? What is our ornament? What does the Lord ask of us today? You know, Paul said that in the book of Philippians, he took everything that he had, wrapped it all up in one little bundle. I mean, he took all of his pedigree. He took all of his platitudes. He took all of his learning. He took all of his degrees. He took everything that this world says is great and good, and he wrapped it up in one little bundle. And you know what he said? He said, "I count it but dung." Now, we country folks, we know what dung is. Paul said, all your platitudes, your pedigrees, your degrees, your success, everything this world says is great and good, when you compare it to the Lord, it's nothing but dung. Wasn't that strange? That's the way Mary felt. She was just rash, and the world says, well, you're crazy. Look what you could have done with that. But Mary said, no, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm sacrificing it to the Lord today. Now, why did she do this? Well, we already touched on it a little bit. You see, Jesus had been teaching his disciples they was going to be crucified. I believe he was teaching a lesson. I believe this is teaching all of us a lesson today. You see, he was teaching them that he was going to Calvary, that he was going to be giving his life and his blood for the sins of the world. You know, we look around today and we think about the American dream, and it's turned into the American greed, I believe, today, but it's amazing. I read, kept up a little bit with the trial of Alan Stanford out in Texas, how that he had this Ponzi scheme and built many people out of their life savings and their retirement. And I read about one particular individual over in Tupelo, and somewhere over $400,000. I thought about that. $400,000. Why would you risk that in that kind of scheme? Greed. Because he thought he was going to get another $400,000. He thought he was going to get an exorbitant return on his money. I wonder today if you went to him and said, won't you give that to the Lord? I bet today if he'd give it to God, he'd have been a lot better off, wouldn't he? Because you see today, the Lord's coming back. The reason today and the thing I want you to understand today, Mary was doing this because she knew the Lord was about to go to Calvary. She was anointing him for his burial before he was ever crucified. You know, this morning we need to be ready and understand the Lord is coming back today. You see, she prepared for his death and burial. All of us better be preparing for his coming this morning. Are you giving your best? Are you doing what you can for the Lord? Are you preparing for his coming again? One day we're going to have to stand before his bema seat and give an account for what we've done in this body, whether it be good or bad, whether it be profitable or unprofitable. And when the Lord looks at you and you say, Lord, I did my best, is he going to say, I don't think so? You think about that today. The Lord's coming. Make no mistake about it. Just as he was going to Calvary, the disciples didn't want to believe it. The world didn't want to believe it. But he went to Calvary anyway, and he died, was buried, and he rose again. And I want to tell you, the world may not think he's coming back, but praise God, he's coming anyhow. What's the response? Well, as this response here is with indignation, and you read over in John's gospel, and you'll find that John's gospel, the account of this, Judas Iscariot, you know, well, just let me read it to you real quickly, because I think it's important that you understand what was going on in his mind, and what's going on in the minds of a lot of people this morning. Verse number 6 said, talking about Judas, it said, This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You see, if you want to see what Judas's heart was, there it is. It revealed his heart. You see, he was a thief. He sounded real spiritual. He said, well, this could have been sold and given to the poor. But Jesus said he didn't. He didn't do this because he cared for the poor. He did it because he was a thief and had the bag. Probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Sometimes I just got to say what I feel. I think there's a lot of people in Washington, D.C. just like Judas. They don't care nothing about the poor. They just do it because they can get money and use it for their own self because they're a bunch of thieves. You say, that's pretty harsh. Well, you look around you today. When these folks come out talking about, I feel sorry for the poor folks wearing a $10,000 suit and a $5,000 pair of shoes and driving a $100,000 automobile, go sell some of that, and then come back and tell me you feel for the poor. Amen. You've seen one of these folks on these committees about how to balance the budget and how to, this morning, get our economy under control, say, well, we need to cut our salary. No, we need to cut the poor folks' salary. I'm serious. First thing you say, we need to cut out Social Security. Who gets Social Security? Poor folks. Nobody said anything about all this exorbitant money they spend everywhere else, did they? They don't care about the poor people. That's the way Judas was. He sounded spiritual, but he wasn't nothing but a thief. He had the bag. You see, he thought, hey, I can get this money in this bag. I can go buy myself something. I can go get something for myself. You see, he was wanting to use it for his own self. I think that's the reason most people never sacrifice today. They want to use it for their self. Most of the time, we're just all selfish, aren't we? We're selfish. I'm selfish just like everybody else. I'm not going to lie about it. But you know, we need to quit being selfish and become, as this lady was, sacrificial and give to the Lord and do our very best for the Lord. Are you doing your best for the Lord today? That's a question you have to answer. I can't answer that for you. But you know, one day the Lord's going to ask you that. Did you do your best? As the song said, all he asks from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, they may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. You see, the Lord went to Calvary. The Lord died upon the cross. He gave his best. He gave his all for you and I today. Are we willing to do the same for him this morning? All right, we stand together for prayer. Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for your great salvation. We ask you this morning, Lord, you might take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his wonderful, holy name I pray. Amen.